doctor and gardening information the natural way. The Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett, is ready to go with the best information and advice on organic gardening and organic living. If you want to avoid the toxic life, jump right in with us. The water's fine. Here's your leader, John Howard, the Dirt Doctor Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody back to the show. I appreciate you being there. We've had a lot of fun today, and we will continue to for another hour here. 866-444-3478 is the number to be with me. This hour is brought to you by the Dirt Doctor Information Sources, starting with 16 books. The newest one, Organic Lawn Care, that I hope you will find useful, dirtdoctor.com. With a tremendous amount of information. Those of you that are tuning in new, just learning about it, go to the homepage and click on the button that says, it's just a word, guides, and it takes you to all the formulas and all the basic programs that I recommend and all that, and then you can just spread out from there. There's all kinds of information around that basic starting point. Our Facebook, a lot of activity there. I finally got what I said I would at the beginning of the show today. The photograph of this big, beautiful hibiscus with a gigantic hole in it from one of our little grasshopper friends, and a lot of people are asking about that. Basically, three ways to control grasshoppers. If you find one or two, pull them off and crush them by hand. And if that makes you queasy, have somebody else do it for you. That's better than loading up, spraying anything, you know, including the organic stuff if you don't need to. The essential oils work pretty well. We have one in this market called Trifecta that would be effective on reasonable outbreaks of grasshoppers. The bad outbreaks, the solution is called Kaolin Clay, K-A-O-L-I-N, Kaolin Clay. It's a EPA registered product under the name Surround, and it you mix with water, spray it on the plants. You may have heard us talk about it briefly with callers earlier in the show. It forms a particle film on the plants. That's the only negative thing. You see it. You see the white particle film, but it confuses the grasshoppers, and they stop feeding. We have had anecdotal reports that self-rising yeast works. And I was going to try it on my grasshoppers, but I had so few and I've caught them all that I really don't have the problem anymore, but I will try it next time. The self-rising yeast, you put in a turkey baster or a puffer or a dusting miser, dust it on the plants, the grasshoppers feed on it. It might work for other pests as well. And it messes them up internally somehow or another is the report that reports that we get. And back to Neil in Fort Worth, who called at the end of the last hour. And we were talking about no-see-ums in mosquitoes. Was that right, Neil?
Yeah, that's right. And I have some other things, too. But I don't have a big mosquito problem, but I do have some kind of bug that's getting on my feet and ankles when I come out in the St. Augustine in the back.
Okay. You could have chiggers, but you probably have what I refer to as a chicken mite, which is harder to control. What I would suggest that you try first, and you can spray a Garrett juice as the base, or you can do this just with water, but add whichever way you go, add the product called Bio Wash.
Okay.
And add a little bit of orange oil, no more than 2 ounces per gallon, but somewhere between an ounce and 2 ounces per gallon, and spray the whole place down with it. This is one little critter that you might get some help adding some hydrogen peroxide to. You know, we normally recommend it for disease control, but little bitty no-see-ums and small things, the hydrogen peroxide added to the mixture might be beneficial as well.
All right. I just heard you mention grasshoppers. Do you think orange oil will kill them on contact? Because I've only got a few.
Nah, it's not really that effective. I think if you make it at the 2 ounces per gallon and spray them pretty hard. It's going to, if it doesn't kill them, irritate them pretty badly, and they'll go to some other place. The essential oils that are a blend of different plant oils are more powerful than just orange oil by itself.
Okay. Wanted to give you some information about dog food. I've switched over to the Victor probably 3-4 months ago, but even before that, I have an old dog, and he had some shoulder problems. He's had some trauma, and so was starting to favor one shoulder. I took him into the vet. They gave me a whole bunch of expensive blood tests and lab tests and x-rays, and told me he had rheumatoid arthritis real bad, was going to have to be on Remedil for the rest of his life. I gave him that stuff, the Remedil, for about a week, and then switched over to, at the time, the Munster that had the glucosamine and chondroitin. That's been probably almost a year and a half ago. Hadn't had a problem since.
Well, the Victor products that have that in it, too, I've started using that. I think the salmon one that I just bought has a glucosamine in it as well. And that's a good thing to use, especially for dogs that are getting up in age. We have two situations. Our old dog, Carmen, she's just really starting to move slowly, you know, and it's helping her greatly. Tater has got that condition. We had Dr. Dan Kirby on here a few months ago, and it's a very common condition that I didn't know about, where the knee joint pops out, and they start running around on three legs. And little Tater, it's really helped him. He doesn't do it as often, but we've also figured out that he has decided that if he wants to run on three legs, he will, and if he doesn't, he doesn't. And it's simple as that. But the glucosamine and chondroitin in the dog foods, I agree, are good.
Another thing I wanted to tell you, you and I talked back in the spring about propane torches.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of cedar elm seedlings coming up where I had replaced the grass with aggregate material.
Uh-huh.
And the feedback is I bought one that was too big. It works really effectively, but the succulents and native plants, you know, I guess they probably have an awful lot of oil in the leaves, and they burn just as easily.
Well, yeah, you're gonna any plant that you hit with a flame it's not gonna be selective at all. You have to be careful about that.
What I'm saying though is with the bigger one, it's just tough to control. Even if you don't hit it directly, if you even get close, those things don't like it.
Well, yeah, the instructions on using a flame weeder are not to let the flame hit the weed. If it's a little bit of distance away, it actually kills the weed more thoroughly than if you just burn it up real crispy. It'll tend to come back from the crown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to tell you about is your evil chemical twin brother had a column in the Star Telegram here a day or two ago about turf grass.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the points he made were legitimate about the benefits of it, but the problem I had with it is he kind of set up a false choice as if your only options are turf grass or concrete or asphalt.
Yeah, there's a few more choices than that, like with food crops and mulches and other things. Yeah, well, we just kind of go a different route.
Yep.
Give the Victor a try. I think you'll see.
I'm using it. I'm using the one with the glucosamine and chondroitin in it.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I'm glad it's working well for you.
It's less expensive than the Munster was.
Well, thanks for the report.
You bet.
Thank you, Neil. Talk to you later. Let's go to Lee in Winter Park, Florida. Hello, Lee.
How you doing, Dirk?
I'm doing well. What's going on there?
I'm growing some container-grown tomatoes in a 30-foot hoop house.
Okay.
It's just a hobby house. And I had the pots on the ground in the beginning. This is a new house. And so this last rotation or the last season of tomatoes, I didn't get much production. And when I pulled the plants up, they're loaded with nematodes.
Okay.
So I guess the nematodes came through the pots when I had them stored on the ground.
Possible, yeah.
Yeah. So I was reading on the internet about French marigolds. Someone was talking about using French marigolds because it produces pyrethrin, and pyrethrin would kill the nematodes.
Pyrethrum comes from a chrysanthemum, that's right, a painted daisy, but I don't think it has much effect on beneficial nematodes. I guess if you mixed a bunch of the plant tissue into the soil, it could help. What I would recommend more strongly than that, there's a commercial product called Actinovate that I think is owned by a different company now, and so it may be a little bit hard to find, but it's very effective on root knot nematodes. And the other thing is citrus pulp. If you keep all your orange and lemon and lime and grapefruit, especially orange, frozen, grind it up, and mix it into the soil before planting, it's extremely good on preventing root knot nematode. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I got a break for a minute. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back for you right after this. Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Don't let biting, disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Protect your family, pets, and livestock with organic, easy-to-use mosquito dunks and mosquito bits. Summit Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite. And they're safe and effective to use in ponds, bird baths, rain gutters, and in any standing water. Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits are available at garden centers everywhere. Visit SummerResponsibleSolutions.com for more information.
You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor, Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation.
Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Somebody called in and couldn't want to know what to do with old synthetic fertilizers, how to get rid of them. One is you can totally get rid of them. They're acceptable to be taken to the chemical collection facilities in most major cities have them. A lot of the smaller cities are starting to. And then when they have special times, anybody can come to those places and bring pesticides, oils, paints, fertilizers, things like that. If you don't have too much of old synthetic fertilizer around, you can put it into the compost just a little bit at a time. Over a period of time, the microbes in your good, healthy compost will neutralize it and, you know, buffer it and make it where it's, you know, not an unacceptable way to go at all. Just don't use too much at any one time. Lee, hell with us up in Florida. What else did you have, Lee?
I want to know the spelling on that first product that you're talking about to kill the nematodes. AC something or other, maybe?
Actinovate. 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 But the citrus peelings will work as well. It's a homemade thing versus, you know, a labeled product. So you can go either way.
Right. And what fertilizer would you suggest for the tomatoes?
Well, in Florida, in Winter Park, I don't know what your feed stores, farm stores, and garden centers have. What I would suggest to you, Lee, is go to the places you shop and show them some of the things from our website that we recommend. And if they don't have them in stock, ask them if they can get them, and they can. It's just a matter of whether they'll do it or not.
And Tractor Supply is one of the stores that comes to mind.
Well, Tractor Supply is carrying some of the things that we talk about, and hopefully they'll be carrying a lot more. So that'd be a great place for you to start. The organic fertilizers that are generic, you can also get from Tractor Supply and feed stores and garden centers also. Alfalfa meal, cottonseed meal, fish meal, things like that. Those are perfectly acceptable to use in the program as well.
Okay.
And no matter what you use, look at my formula for Garrett juice and either make it or buy it yourself. Or buy it commercially and make it part of your fertility program.
And that's designed, your formula is for, it will work with tomatoes?
Oh, yeah, it's great for tomatoes, helping them set fruit, having better production, the whole deal.
Okay, that's good. That's what I'll do. And one more thing about the French marigold. You said chrysanthemum, two different species, families?
Yeah, I've never heard of a French marigold being the source of pyrethrum. I don't think that's right. We've got detailed information about that in our books and on the website. Pyrethrum comes from a mum. It's actually generically called a painted daisy, and it's kind of a drought-tolerant plant. It's grown in several countries in Africa and India and different places that are kind of droughty type places. And not only do I oppose pyrethrum because it's too toxic, even though it's a natural material, it's a neurotoxin that I don't think people ought to be around. There's two other problems with it. One is when they make the pyrethrum products and synthetic pyrethroids also, they put what's called PBO in it, piperonate butoxide, which is a synergist that's toxic and makes the poison even more neurotoxic, makes it work faster to kill. Well, that hurts pets and wildlife and people also more. So, and then the final thing is, guess what they spray on the painted daisy when they're growing it over in those countries to keep the pests off that plant? They spray it with DDT.
Wow.
So pyrethrum, synthetic pyrethroids, they're not acceptable in an organic program, in my opinion.
I see.
And I don't think they'd help you with nematodes anyway. So give those other things a try and get back with us.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. That might be a little surprise to a lot of you, but that's the kind of stuff we cover in our books and on the website and all that kind of thing as well. You might, if you want the most details about some of that technical stuff, our book called Organic Management for the Professional might be what you want to buy. It's not written just for professionals. It's written for people who really want the nitty-gritty, you know, the real detail stuff. And I've got two co-authors on the a book that are far more experienced than I am in their specific categories, and it is helpful if you're a homeowner, especially if you're a homeowner hiring people to do an organic program. If you're a contractor, if you're a landscape contractor or a golf course superintendent or somebody in the business, greenhouse operations, the book is especially useful to you. Ray in Dallas next up. Hey, Ray.
Hi there. How are you?
Doing great.
Thanks for taking my call. I live over in the White Rock Lake area.
So do I.
And I know I'm about 2 miles north of you.
Okay.
Anyway, I have what we believe to be an American elm.
Okay.
And we've identified it through the leaf profile in our tree book.
Okay.
And it's about 40-plus years old. We think it was planted by a squirrel, or it's a volunteer anyway. We didn't plant it. Beautiful tree.
Mm-hmm.
And been doing good all these years, and this year the leaves are starting to, this has been going on for over a month now, the leaves are drying up and falling off, turning brown. The leaves that I've looked at that fall have got little...
Let me put you on hold. And the main thing I'm going to tell everybody about you is that we need to see some pictures. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, will be back to talk more about that after this.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All right, back with you. Ray and I talked a little bit more off the air about his American elm tree that's in some stress for some reason. And I wanted everybody to hear two things. One is, generally speaking, no matter what the stress solution, relieving the stress solution is, as far as cultural, getting the soil off the base, changing the fertilizer or the watering regime or whatever it is, what we almost always recommend is the sick tree treatment, because that'll do more good to relieve the stress and move a tree in the right direction than anything it can do. First part of that is to get the soil off the flare. Second thing is I ask him to send some photographs. That's something any of you can do. Digital photographs to info@dirtdoctor.com. When you send a picture of a plant that's in trouble, always take pictures of the foliage, the branching, the tip growth, the trunk, and especially the base, showing the tree, the plant coming out of the ground. Because 99% of the time when a plant's in real trouble, it's too deep in the ground, and that's the first thing we need to solve. And 95% of the time, the sick tree treatment is the recommended solution. It's not a product. It's a procedure. And it's explained on our website under guides, the same place all the formulas are and all that kind of thing. He also had another one that everybody may be interested in. He asked me about squirrels. Biggest pest I have, biggest problem I have, most people, same thing. You can get a squirrel or any rodent to stop eating the bark off of trees by doing what I just talked about, sick tree treatment, relieving the stress in the plant. The rodents will eat plants that are in stress and are concentrating sugars. Not 100% of the time, but most of the time that's the case. So you can eliminate them from doing that by getting the plant healthy, whether it's in a pot or in the ground. You can get them to stop digging in the pots with another technique, and that's using lava gravel as the mulch. Lava gravel, not lava sand. They don't like digging around or walking around in the or on the lava gravel. Hope that helps. Byron in Richardson next up. Hi, Byron.
Hi, Howard. Quick question. What can you do about cockroaches that are in the sanitary sewer?
In the sanitary sewer?
Yes. That's where they come from. They come up through the...
You talking about the stormwater sewer? The stormwater?
No, the one in the house.
Oh, the sanitary. Okay, I got you. I'm thinking the wrong thing. That's a good question. They're coming out of the sanitary sewer line.
Yes.
You probably need to call EcoSafe or somebody that's in the pest control business that uses the kind of techniques and products that we recommend and get them to look at it on site. Byron, that's a little bit... of a tough one for me to tell you how to fix over the phone. We control roaches with the simple baits in a lot of cases. The abamectin baits can be put out and work well. The sprays can be put, you know, in various places, but something in the septic system itself, I'm not sure what how they're...
We don't want to kill people, you know, by...
Yeah, that's what's throwing me a little bit, how they get in there and what we would do about it. Talk to EcoSafe about that issue and let me know. That one's a little different.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate the call. Roaches, we've got a lot of solutions for, but it's always in different places than that. One thing about roaches outside, people have them in the compost pile, and we have some around our little wet compost area. We move the food scraps into a metal container before it goes into our big compost pile, and you'll sometimes have some roaches around those areas. They're actually beneficial outside, helping break down things and all that. I know people don't want to be around them, and they can be killed with orange oil and essential oils and various all kinds of products, boric acid type things and all, but they are beneficial when they're helping with the composting operation. David in Georgetown, Georgia. Hi, David.
Hi. Hey, something's eating our beans, and they're eating the roots, not just like a vole, but I didn't see a tunnel, but I did find a big centipede. They wouldn't eat... bean roots, would they?
Well, a centipede wouldn't, but a millipede would.
Millipedes would eat?
Yeah, they'll eat roots and do some damage underground. They normally don't do that much damage. The centipedes are beneficial. They eat other insects.
How do you tell the difference?
Well, the millipede's got more legs, and it's harder. The body is more like chitin. It's a harder body. The centipede has fewer legs, they're longer and more delicate looking. We got real good pictures on the website and in my Texas Bug Book showing the difference.
Could they eat the whole root system?
Nah, if there was a bunch of them, they could do some damage. There's no question about it. Wireworms in the ground could as well. You need to do more if you have, and some if you've never done any beneficial nematodes. Next year especially, next season especially, when you plant new plants, and you'll probably eliminate that problem.
Oh, Okay, it's just like a vole, but I didn't see a tunnel.
Well, now, if it's beast like that, it's a little bit different deal. You're going to have to do some barriers, use some of the repellents that contain castor oil and hot peppers and things like that to repel moles and voles and mammals. Beneficial nematodes might help you some with them, but probably not very much.
Is there anything else that could eat the roots?
Well, any kind of insects that are down in the ground, like you already suspected there.
The top is the only thing left. They're just laying on the ground. There's nothing.
Yeah, cutworms, it could be what it is, too. And cutworms are definitely easy to control with beneficial nematodes. So
they're good-sized beans, though. I mean,
well, cutworms get pretty big. It's a big caterpillar.
Uh-huh.
So that could be your issue, and they're very common hitting beans. It sounds like you didn't do beneficial nematodes, so next time let's load it up.
Okay.
All right?
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it, David.
Well,
yeah, beneficial nematodes, that's why I recommend them to everybody. Every gardener should put beneficial nematodes in the soil when they plant new crops. The root knot nematodes, if you've had issues with them, and most of us do, with the nightshades and okra and various things, the citrus pulp, and everybody ought to be eating fruits and vegetables anyway. Just don't throw away your citrus peels. Put them in a plastic bag, throw them in the freezer. When it's time to plant, grind them up. They smell terrific, and then mix them in the soil as you plant. Helps tremendously. But beneficial nematodes, you got to buy. You got to purchase them from somebody and get them in and put them out. I just put out some recently for fleas. We had a little flea issue pop up. You know, sometimes you do, and you put them out, and works great. Let's see. Who is next up? Line 3, I may have done something funny to, Matt. I'm not sure. Roberto, next up?
Yes. Good morning, Howard. How are you
doing? I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm doing great. Love the show.
Thank you.
I've got a question on my Persian ivy and another question on some autumn fern. The Persian ivy, I planted it 3 months ago,
mm-hmm.
and I talked to you then and got your advice, and it's still alive, it's green, but it's not growing. Do I have to wait a little longer, or is there something else I can do? I fertilized it about a month ago. With the whole lawn with a ladybug, and then I've been putting Garrett Juice Pro and Garrett Juice Plus, just kind of alternating every 3 weeks. And
that's plenty. Yeah. It's a little slow the first year, I've noticed it, and then it kind of takes off the second year. So I think you're doing really all you need to do, Roberto. And during the heat, it's not going to show a lot of new growth. Be sure mm-hmm. to keep the soil mulched around the mm-hmm. plants with a thin layer of mulch. I think that's critical. And the thing that I've learned the hard way is that plant, Persian ivy, cannot take any full sun.
Right.
So I hope you have it in the shade. And if that's the case, what's happening is it's building root system, and then you'll see the top take off after that root system gets going. It's a little bit like buffalo grass. It does the same thing from seed.
Okay. So, yeah, I've done that as well. We talked about that 3 months ago. So I guess I just need to hang tight then.
Yeah, I think so. I think that that's fairly common, that it's a little bit slow the first growing season. What month did you put it in the ground?
It was May, the beginning of May.
Okay. It would have been probably better if you had gotten it in the winter, but you didn't. So getting it in when things are already growing and all, it probably does kind of stutter step just a little bit getting started. But if it's green, still looking good, I don't think you have a problem. I think the roots are developing, and it'll come along after that.
Okay. And then the other is my autumn ferns.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't get those things to grow. And they start drying up or dying all the time. Is it just a bad plant to try to grow here?
Well, it's a little tougher. I've lost some in the past myself because I'm kind of cavalier. I try to see what all I can get away with. you know, as far as neglect. And the regular wood fern and the holly fern are far, far easier to grow than autumn fern. I like autumn fern. The color's terrific and everything.
Right.
But getting them established, they just need a little bit more tender, loving care. I think you have figured it out.
What would that care be? More water? More fertilizer?
Probe and make sure you're not keeping it too wet or too dry. And just, you know, just give it a little bit more attention and make sure the conditions stay as good as possible.
Okay. One last question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So I've tried to grow super fantastic tomatoes, and I just don't have any luck.
Really?
The one I have now is very leggy. I talked to you about a month ago. It had some of that curly top, and I trimmed it and put the
peroxide
on, mm-hmm. and that got rid of it, but it's just not... I think I only saw one tomato come out of it.
That's interesting. It almost sounds like you've got a compost that's got a little herbicide contamination in it, Roberto.
Okay.
Let me talk to you off the air real quick about that,
okay.
And then we'll come back for more people in general. The number, we got full lines, and I think enough for the rest of the show. I'll try to work as many in as I can. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, be back right after this. Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Hydration. As sunny days get longer, it's easier for your heart to pump blood through the vessels when you're properly hydrated. Plus, athletic performance can last up to 33% longer. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration, recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. DrinkCrazyWater.com for a store in your area.
Hot, dry summers are hard on our lawns and landscapes. Use Milorganite fertilizer to help your lawn and landscape survive the stressful summer season. Hi, I'm gardening expert Melinda Myers. The organic nitrogen in Milorganite is slow release and non-burning, even during drought. The fertilizer will be in place and ready to work when better growing conditions and moisture return, so there's no need to water it in. Plus, the 4% iron promotes deep green growth. Milorganite, for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com for a garden center near you.
Whether you are getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, flying to a business meeting, or just visiting friends, don't risk ruining your trip by neglecting to protect your digestive health. Pack award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, one of the best lines of defense against traveler's tummy. Dr. O'Hara's convenient blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated, perfect for traveling. Backed by over 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics use 12 strains of live, beneficial bacteria combined in a centuries-old Japanese fermentation process. The result is a superior supplement that enhances immunity and digestion, which helps reduce the risk of getting sick while traveling. Stay healthy while traveling and remember to pack your probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products, and one of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high-nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. One thing that Roberto and I just talked about off the air, when you have purchased compost, especially from some of the operations, there's a possibility of herbicide contamination. And when you're seeing some strange things like he was seeing, that can be the culprit. And it's a good idea, if you suspect it at all, is to do a version of our detox program, which is explained on the website. And it's in the library. You just go to the library. Everything is in alphabetical order, and the soil detox program is there. And it's something that, even if you don't have a problem, it's beneficial because it'll just help stimulate the biological activity and kick rev things up so that you'll have better production from whatever your program is. LD in LaPointe, Utah, next up. Hello, LD.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, and you?
I'm good, thanks. I had a couple of questions. One was about tomato wilt. And I think you may have partially answered it talking to that guy a little bit earlier. But I got tomato wilt. I think they're turning kind of pale green and curling up, and I'm not sure what's causing it.
Well, the two most common things, LD, and I'm not sure which one you have, when you have the deforming of the newest growth, it kind of crinkles up and it looks like it's withering, or it's not turning a different color. It's just looking strange. That's a viral disease. And cutting it away and then spraying with Garrett juice with hydrogen peroxide mixed in at about 16 ounces of hydrogen peroxide, just the 3% store-bought stuff per gallon of spray, will solve that. If it's early blight, where the lower leaves are turning yellow and it's moving up the plant, that's the other very common kind of thing that happens. The same hydrogen peroxide and Garrett juice program will work in both cases, spraying with cornmeal juice and or a milk, you know, a cup of milk per gallon of spray will help, especially with the early blight. And then cornmeal, whole ground cornmeal mixed into the soil at planting time in the next crop that you have will help prevent those things from happening in the first place.
Okay. Okay. Well, and also a lot of people are using galvanized water trough stock tanks for planters.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
I don't like metal much at all because there's always a possibility that heavy metals that are part of the finishing of the metal can get into the plants, you know, and they rot. They rust out and don't last. So I like get things in the ground as much as possible. And if you're going up, I like stone and real concrete much better than metal and wood. The metal and wood don't last. You know, they're not as good an investment. With the stone and concrete, you do it one time. It's a one-time expense, even though it would be more money that you have to do. But the best thing long-term for everybody, if you have the room, is to get the plants in the ground, not have a raised bed at all.
Okay. One more thing, maybe. What is humic acid, actually? What is that? I'm thinking in some of my compost, I may have a little bit of herbicide in there. If I mix humic acid in my compost bed, would that help detoxify that?
It helps. That's one of the things that we have in the detox program is some kind of carbon. And we specifically have activated carbon or a fine textured humate. In humate, humate's kind of a generic term that refers to humic materials. A lot of the humates on the market are low-grade lignite coal. Some are made from other things, but the most common is low-grade lignite coal that's ground into a fine powder. Well, yeah. one of the parts of humic material is humic acid. That's kind of the active ingredient of humic material, of our organic material, carbon-based materials. And that humic acid is what is really available to the plant and really helps to stimulate biological activity and is a very important tool for organic gardeners. So it's just part of humates, humic acid. And there's various humic acids. There are various different kinds of organic acids, humic acid, fulvic acid, and others. And they're all beneficial.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
I appreciate the call. Join us again. Justice in McKinney is next up. Hello, Justice.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
I've got some viney plants growing in my yard. It's new sod, and I'm trying to figure out how best to get rid of it. It's kind of taken over.
Looks a little bit succulent, kind of.
I guess.
Kind of thick stems. Probably what you have there, I've had some people send me pictures of it recently, Justice. It's called Kentucky Buttonwood. Kentucky Buttonwood. That's not the right term. Look on my website. I'll put something on Facebook about it, too. Illinois Buttonweed or Kentucky Buttonweed. I finally thought of the word. Use the product that I mentioned earlier in the show called Agra Lawn Crabgrass Killer. A-G-R-A.
Okay.
L-A-W-N, crabgrass killer. It'll knock it out. And let me put you on hold if you had something else. I'm Howard Garrett. I've enjoyed being with you today. I'll see you in a week. Our commentary runs during the week. The website's available for you all the time. Enjoy your gardens, and don't forget to feed the birds.